Okay, well, this is episode 10 of the Desiree Show. My name is Desiree Imondesir, and this is where we talk about the three L's, life, love, and leadership. This past episode and this current episode, we're leaning a little more somewhere between life and love. Maybe you could throw in a tad bit of leadership. I don't know. It's all about your perspective. But I'm a blogger at Desiree M. Mondesir. I am the author of Otherworldly, The Little Book of Warfare, Judging the Prophetic, and much more. And I have a brand new resource available, y'all, called Recognizing Cults. So definitely go take advantage of that, because a lot of people are being taken in and they don't even know it. So, avail yourselves of that if you would. And if you are tweeting along with us or posting, which hopefully you are, I gave you all the wrong hashtag last time, but please use the hashtag The Desiree Show, okay? We are doing part two of Exposing Faux Purity Culture with my girls, Charity Israel, a.k.a. Love Lives Free, and our friend, Becca, a.k.a. Preach Becca, or I should say Rebecca Davis, give her proper government Christian name. But I'm so happy to have the ladies back. And again, Charity is a prophet, a blogger, an author, also of 40 Days to Freedom. And Becca is a minister and a podcaster, one half, technically, of the Billionaire Besties podcast. So I'm happy to have my girls in the house. Hello, ladies.
Hey.
We back.
Yes. Oh. So how did y'all feel after last week? After our last episode?
I felt like, you know, all hearts were clear, you know, just I think we did a pretty good job at exposing it, as well as encouraging people how to proceed now that you know, like, what to do moving forward and how to approach sexuality moving forward. So yeah. I applaud you two ladies. I do. I'm clapping. Aww. I just didn't want to clap in the
thank you, girl. You can clap a little bit.
I didn't want to, you know, to mess up nothing. But I'm clapping.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What about you, Becca?
Yeah, I think we may have ruffled a few feathers, which I know none of us mind ruffling anybody's feathers, or provoking thoughts that would cause people to really, you know, question, why are we doing the things that we do? And so I am very excited to dig deeper into this topic and hopefully shed some additional light to give people some freedom, girl, because we just make life a lot more difficult than what it needs to be. So
we really do.
I'm just excited to be back. Yeah.
Yay. And, you know, one of my friends listened to the podcast, and he has, I think you know him. Obviously you know him, Charity. He went to college with us. Kenneth Lloyd Mack. Junior, K-Mac, and he has a platform called Provocatively Pure, so y'all can check that out on social media if you would like. But, you know, he was just really applauding the yet biblical stance of sexual purity, despite tackling down these false idols that people have erected and these false, you know, this legalism, this set of legalism that's been created, you know, it's like we gonna tackle the idol, doggone it, but we're still gonna maintain the standard, which is sexual purity, but from the heart, you know. So thanks for that, Kenny. But yeah, so I was really happy with the first episode, but I was like, we are not done talking about this, and I don't know where all of this is gonna go. But I think we should give ourselves another hour to figure out where it's going to go. So I'll start with one of the things I know I really wanted to address last time. And I know we talked about, you know, sort of spinning personal opinions into doctrine, which if y'all know me, if y'all have been following me, and I've been blogging since 2012, released my first book in 2012, y'all should be used to my mouth by now, okay? But one of the things that I consistently say is that you cannot turn a personal conviction into doctrine. I don't care what your personal conviction is. It's called a personal conviction for a reason. And here's the fun part. A personal conviction may or may not be rooted in Scripture. And so what we're seeing a lot of times, again, we don't name names. I don't like to do that. And that's not, some people think that's a little petty or it's not being forthright. No, because my thing is I like to break down the operation. Because if I mention a name, first of all, that could be a little petty or shady, depending on the situation, you know. But if I mention a situation, then you will recognize the operation. When you are going through your day-to-day life on social media, when you're checking out ministers, when you're listening to what they're saying, you can recognize the spirit of a thing without getting hung up on the name of a thing. And then the other side of that is there are a lot of people operating in a lot of things that we don't know about, who may not necessarily have the bigger platforms that get, you know, most of the attention on social media or more of the attention, so to speak. So that's kind of my thing with that. But, you know, one of the things I really wanted to say was that, you know, I think we're seeing in particular with a particular individual who has sort of built their platform off of the subject of purity culture and things pertaining to it is what a lot of us, if you are discerning and if you listen and if you pay attention, you can discern that there's some sort of sexual trauma in their past. I don't know what it was, and I'm not going to sit here and guess, but, you know, you can fairly detect that sort of thing when you listen long and well enough to someone. And so due to personal traumas, and then due to just your own shortcomings, you know, as an individual, as an individual, just your personal issues that you may have experienced or gone through pre-Jesus, post-Jesus, now you're taking those traumas and you're taking your personal issues and now you're saying this is the standard and in trying to spin your personal conviction. Because you haven't been healed yet. Because you haven't been delivered and set free yet. Now you're trying to take that and put that burden on somebody else when they may not have your issue.
Mm-hmm.
So what do y'all think about that?
I think I'll let you go
that
first.
Okay. No, that is so real. You know what's interesting is, like, for someone who, I'm speaking of myself, for someone who has experienced levels of trauma, I because I've gone through therapy and because I've gone through deliverance and things like that, I can now look back and see how I was trying to preach defense mechanisms instead of preaching what God actually says. So when you're talking about people who are, you know, uber purity culturalist or that's the message that they preach, it reminds me of a scripture. I was actually trying to pull it up, but it reminds me of a scripture where it's talking about in the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure, disrespectful to parents, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And there's a specific phrase in there where it's talking about prohibiting people to marry, right?
Yes.
And although the purity culturalists, they're not necessarily saying don't get married, but what I think is happening is, like, they're taking the beauty away of what's supposed to happen in marriage, right? Mm-hmm. So on the first episode that we did, we talked about how it is impossible to switch your mind over to sex is good when you've been told for years that sex is bad, right? Mm-hmm. So you compound that with, oh, don't hold hands, oh, don't kiss, oh, put up these extreme boundaries. And I feel like it's an attack for the marriage bed before you even get to the marriage bed. And it's based out of trauma. Like, it is natural and it is normal to have a sexual desire. That is not demonic, okay? You do not need to be delivered for being sexually attracted to the opposite sex. That is something that God gave us. Mm-hmm. But what some people will say is, if you even look at a person and notice that they're attractive, then it's lust. That is not lust. That may be
right.
lust for you because of where your mind goes, but that is not lust for us, okay? And so we just really have to pay extreme attention to what is actually being said. And I love what you mentioned at the beginning of the episode, Desiree, is like we could point and call out names, but that's going to tell you the operation, but you're not going to know the root. And what discernment is going to do is going to give you the ability to see the root of what's really going on. Why are they telling me I can't kiss before I get married? What's the reason of that? Is it for the perception of holiness, or is it based upon behaviors that you can't handle because that's going to lead you into the bedroom before you get married? Mm-hmm. Like, let's get to the root of what's really, really happening and what people are actually saying.
Absolutely. Charity?
Yeah, I agree with Becca, and also with what you were saying as far as not making a doctrine out of it. And when we just look at Christendom as a whole,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of that going on just in all spaces, you know, not just with purity. And so it really does require us going to the Word of God, asking the Holy Spirit to be the great teacher that He is, and reveal to us, you know, what is your view on sexuality, what is your view on purity, and then us living according to it. And then knowing if we don't find scripture, we don't need to preach it as gospel truth. We need to definitely clarify when we're speaking that this is a personal conviction. This is what helped me in my walk. You can do it if you want to, but we cannot make things definite and the law when it's not that. And so yeah, it is a frustrating thing to experience, especially when you've held on to that, and then once you start studying scripture for yourself and you see, like, oh, well, I can't find it anywhere in the Bible.
Anywhere.
And then you're having to wrestle with, okay, so all of these years I lived in bondage as it pertains to, you know, expressing my love in a godly way. Still, you're not crossing any lines or any boundaries, but you were doing it solely because there was somebody's personal conviction and not necessarily what the Word of God says. And so, you know, we could get in, we miss out possibly on good relationships because we have a very warped view due to false and bad teaching based on people's personal convictions. So yeah, we really have to be careful with that, not to preach it, and then also, you know, be a Berean again. I don't care who's saying it. If it comes out of their mouth, take it to the Word of God. If you don't see scripture that support it, put it on the side. Don't live your life according to anybody else's personal conviction. Live your life according to the Word of God.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm thinking about a particular podcast that I was listening to, and one of the hosts was stating that even dating, like dating in the sense of going on multiple dates with different people, even dating was a sin. And the Bible tells us to avoid the appearance of evil, to shun the appearance of evil. And it's like,
wow.
What? Now, here's my mindset, okay, as an almost 35-year-old woman, you know, who took Marriage in the Family at Oral Roberts University. Desiree Michelle Montesir has never, ever, ever, ever been personally inclined toward recreational dating. I used to argue down, Professor Maiden, if you ever hear this, you can vouch for me. I used to argue her down in class, in papers, whatever. Like, I do not personally believe in recreational dating. Now, here's the thing. That's because I know me. So Desiree Michelle Montesir is not going to ever and has never and will never recreationally date. But what I have never in my life said is that recreationally dating is a sin. Because I know that I get emotionally attached easily. So it would not behoove me. It would not be expedient for me to be out with Todd and Timmy in whomever, you know, every other night of the week, because it would work for me. Like, I was the girl growing up who was like, if I have two crushes on two different guys, I felt like I was cheating on the guy. Okay, so, and that's just Desiree Michelle Montesir. That is not a standard that I give somebody else, because it's based on how the Lord made me.
Yeah.
It's not how he made me as a woman. It's not how he made me as a prophet, as a believer, as a member of the royal priesthood. No, it's just Desiree Michelle Montesir. So it's just like, no. Like, you have to separate your personal inclinations, because you know how you are. You know what might get your juices flowing. You know what your shortcoming was. Maybe you know that you used to manipulate dudes and get them to take you out because you were lonely, or because you were, you know,
hungry.
Were broke or whatever, hungry, a foodie call, whatever. You used to manipulate. I mean, and not being able to be alone with yourself is a real thing. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
And so maybe you weren't able to be alone, but that doesn't mean you have to then take your personal bondage or your personal issues or just your personal makeup and say, okay, now everyone else has to conduct themselves according to how I feel it is best to conduct myself. And we're not talking about a biblical standard of sexual purity in the sense of do not fornicate, which is any sexual activity outside of marriage, or do not mm-hmm. commit adultery, which is any sexual activity outside of your marriage. And I don't mean this literally, but outside of your marriage bed. Outside of you and your spouse, who is of the opposite gender, let's be clear, because it don't have to be in bed. You know, it can be somewhere mm-hmm. else in the house. I don't know. But y'all know what I mean. It can be somewhere. Somewhere. But, yeah, so I think it's really key to say, okay, I know where I'm struggling. And so this is the boundary I have to place in my life, whether it's an emotional struggle, whether it's a physical struggle, a mental struggle. And on the subject of trauma, you can be traumatized sexually without having had sex, because that trauma could be something that's yes. rooted emotionally or mentally. And if I'm, since I said we was going to get a little more open and honest this week in this particular episode, I remember years ago, no names obviously, but I was dating this guy, pastor. Pastors have been some of the worst men I've dated. No offense to the lovely men of God out there who represent God well, but just in my personal experience, wasn't too good. And he, you know, it was a really trippy, we're going to get to this too, it was a really trippy situation where it was like, oh, I thought God said, because he told me God said, and I was just crazy at the time and not in a mental position to really be able to examine that. And so I'm already in a relationship I don't really want to be in. And then on top of that, he tells me in the context of marriage, you know, basically you have to perform oral sex, because if you don't, then you're going to be the reason why our marriage is bad.
Wow.
Right. So, and there may have been a cultural difference, because he was from the motherland, and I don't mean Ireland. he was from the motherland, so I don't know if that was like a cultural thing, depending on the country that he was from, or if it was just like a him thing, because he's just crazy. But I was like, okay, in my brain, I shut it off at that point. I was like, okay, I'm not doing this, period, because I was kind of on the fence about that. Now, he wasn't asking me to do anything then and there. Let's be clear. That did not happen. But in the context of marriage, it was like, well, I'm not even attracted to you. So I definitely don't want to do that. And so the Lord literally had to deliver me from that. And I mean that very literally. Because when I got into a relationship down the line with a man who was fine, who I did want to marry, and who at the time thought wanted to marry me, you know what I mean? You have to discuss these values, which include how you view sex, You have to discuss these situations because you have to be sexually compatible. And you can figure that out without sleeping with a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the subject came up, it was like, our relationship could be over. Even though those words weren't used, it's just like, if you're allowing a trauma to shape what you will and you won't do in a future relationship, in particular with your spouse, you're robbing your spouse and yourself. Because you haven't been delivered or you haven't had a paradigm shift from whatever the trauma was that came in. There is no scripture from Genesis to Revelation and anywhere in between that forbids oral sex.
You just set somebody free.
Let me say that again. There is no scripture in the 66 books of the Bible, in the Old Testament or the New, that forbids oral sex. There's not a single one. In fact, you could be inclined to maybe find a couple that maybe are a euphemism or a metaphor, but that's a different subject. We're not going to go there necessarily. But, I mean, it's possible, but there's nothing that forbids it. There's absolutely nothing that forbids it in Scripture. And so you can't turn that into a doctrine. I said a whole lot, ladies. Feel free to start jumping in.
Yeah, you did. I'm up here trying to.
I told you to have a notepad or something.
Because I think, see, that's the sad part of this is we're not able, because the church has kind of made sex a taboo subject, that we're not really able to be honest about our sexuality with people. And so I even had one of my friends, she was telling me, you know, within her own marriage that there were things that she had not told her husband. And she was telling me these things, and it was, about certain experiences. And I said, you don't think that's valuable information for your husband to know? So that he would know how to love you better. He would know how to be patient with you in that area, because this is something that you've experienced. But because we have made it such this hot topic, or we shy away from being honest about our sexuality, and honestly, some of us just have no clue because it's something that we shut off because we feel if I explore that, then it's going to lead me into sin. If I better understand it, then I could possibly be on my, people make everything about hell, that they could, be on their way there if they explore it. But I feel, we should take the time to better understand. There's always a holistic approach to everything. So where the enemy has perverted sexuality and, exploring it and understanding it, there is a holy approach to it. There is a holistic approach to it. There is a biological and scientific approach to it. And it would be of value to any and all of us to find out, study anatomy and physiology, understand the basics of these, of the way when you feel and you touch and these different areas and these different spots. Is not something that you go into for manipulation purposes, but it's just so that you can have a better understanding when it is time to do that, and then have honest conversations. But for many of us, we haven't been able to have those honest conversations because we haven't visited those areas in our lives. And so as long as we seal them from ourselves, we're not going to open up and share with other people. And that is why even Christian marriages, you hear when you get among some people and they be moaning and groaning, complaining. Let me watch my words because we're talking about sex. I don't want to paint no picture for nobody. Well, you got to watch your words. But when they're complaining, you're like, why have you not discussed this with your spouse? You are an adult. You are a grown human being. Why are you not able to verbalize, this makes me feel good, this makes me feel bad. I like when you do this. I don't like when this happens. And, again, I think it goes back to how we in the body of Christ have made the subject of sexuality, a bad subject, but it's good with everything else because God created it. So talk, please, and thank you.
Well, I have a question for you, Prophetess.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Ask your question.
I have a clarifying question. So how does one explore their sexuality from a holy standpoint?
From a whole, first, like I said, studying. When you're just learning about the human body and how it works and how it functions, that in and of itself, taking that time to study anatomy and physiology. Also, because somebody gonna take this the wrong way, so I'm trying to figure out how I need to say this.
Choose your words carefully.
Yeah. When you recognize something feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave a little mark right there. Put a little pen right there.
A mental check mark.
A mental check mark. If you're with somebody and it's like, this brother then rubbed my elbow right here, take a note of that. Your elbow. It gets
gotcha.
You. You know what I mean? Like, be aware of what brings you pleasure and know not to engage in a way that will dishonor God, but be aware of it so when that time comes, you can say, you know, brother, when you rub my elbow,
yeah.
That gets this, you know, that gets this engine going. And whatever
right.
It is, it's just really being in tune with yourself. And then even if something occurs and they call themselves being romantic and you know you don't like that, put a pen right there. This is not something that I enjoy. And those are the conversations you have with the person that you are going, you know, that is going to be your spouse, so that you really, you know, you guys are serious about making this commitment to, you know, love each other to death do us part. That's when you have those conversations so that they are aware and that, so that they can say, okay, yeah, I can get down with that, or no, sis, I don't like the elbow thing. I'm going to have to go find somebody else.
Let me blow in your ear. That's just what came in my mind.
See, and then if you don't like people blowing in your ear, you need to know that so that you can tell him, sir, got this hot breath in my ear. Nobody wants that. So, you know, know yourself.
Oh, yes, so.
Have fun. Okay. Becca?
Oh, I'm cracking up. Right. But you know what, though? I have 2 points to make to kind of piggyback on what Charity said, and then I'll come around with my other point. There is such beauty in exploration as well. But I think what happens is like, for those of us who didn't necessarily wait, like, we don't have the gift of virginity to give to our future spouses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that we come in with this expectation of, from day one, it's going to be mind-blowing intimacy with me and my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you are experienced, and even if he is experienced, you still have to figure out what each other likes and dislikes, right? And so we cannot discount the beauty of exploring with your spouse. And it will be, do I like this touch? Do I like, you know, this pressure? Do I like this position? All that type of stuff. Again, I'm going to be respectful. This is your show, Desiree. But you have to, you know, take that time to explore and not feel like if we don't get it right the first time, then God must have punished me for having sex before marriage and now I'm in an unfruitful sexless marriage. Like, no. Take time to explore each other. And so, pre-marriage, we have to understand that there is non-sexual intimacy that can happen and non-sexual physical touch that can happen. I put up a post the other day about love languages, and my first love language is actually physical touch. That's my top love language. And, you know, coming out of sexual promiscuity, I had to retrain my mind and retrain my body to understand that there are some non-sexual physical touches that really do it for me. And not to put me, you know, with my pants on fire and I'm about to, you know, go make something happen. Like, not like that, but it still gives me that feeling of like, wow, this person loves me. Oh, this is affection. I love that, you know. And so there are ways. And like you guys mentioned, it could be blowing in your ear. You might like that, sis. I don't know. It could be blowing in your ear. It could be, you know, cuddling, you know, it could be hugging, mm-hmm. it could be forehead kisses, you know, it could be anything that's like a
no. Don't talk about forehead kisses now, Becca.
Come on, forehead
girl,
kisses, anointed.
Now, that might send you the wrong way, just depending on who do it, so you got to be careful.
That's one. You get, just give me one,
right.
sir, and go somewhere
right.
and sit down.
That forehead
but
kiss.
But look, even if it's
now.
Not the forehead.
Okay.
I mean, even like just kisses
right.
on the cheek. Like, it doesn't always have to be like your tongue's down my throat in order for us to,
right.
you know, be connected. You can get pecks on your face, you know, little smooches here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and it's, this is all going back to what your personal conviction and your personal standards are. If you are
right.
somebody that legitimately, if you know, if you kiss somebody, it's going to go down. If you know that about yourself, then maybe you shouldn't kiss. But if kissing
mm-hmm,
is okay,
mm-hmm.
then don't put yourself in bondage for something that is not a trap or a trigger for you, right?
Right.
But then going back to the point I wanted to originally make, the Bible tells us to love the Lord, our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So the
mm-hmm.
Bible is telling us to love God with all that we are.
Mm-hmm,
why would
mm-hmm.
our God tell us to love him with all that we are? And then refuse us the opportunity to learn all those parts about ourselves. How can
Ooh,
I love God with my sexuality if I am, how can I love God with my sexuality if I'm afraid to even explore that and understand what that is? I still
right.
have to love him with all that I am. I can love him with my desires. I can love him with my affections. I can love him, you know, with my physical touch and honor him in that way. But again, if I am so afraid and I'm so fearful of hell, then I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to explore that. And so it doesn't have to be like a physical, let me go, you know, self-pleasure or anything like that. Like, I'm not
right.
saying that. But what I am saying is, as a woman, what is it that a man does that turns me on? What is it that a man does that makes me feel more like a woman? Like, what are some things that a man can say that makes me feel more feminine? You know, things like that. Because, again, romance, intimacy, one-on-one time, all these things do not have to be sexual. So we have to get out of our flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ask the Lord, what are some ways that I can celebrate my sexuality as a single person or a person that's dating or engaged? How can I celebrate my sexuality in a way that honors God and it still brings out the best in me and still brings out the best in my relationship? And I believe because
mm-hmm.
God is all-knowing, he is not withholding this information. He said, I will hold no good thing from you. So if he created sex and said sex is good,
mm-hmm.
that is a good
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not withholding that, and I'm not talking about the act. I'm talking about the revelation of it. Hope y'all are going along with
mm-hmm.
me. Why would he withhold the fullness
yeah.
of the revelation of, one, why do you have it confined to marriage? For two, how can I honor it in my singleness? And for three, how can I prepare my body to belong with somebody else when I get married? So
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of levels to this, y'all, but, like, we have to stop demonizing sex and sexuality because, again, he said it's good, guys. Like, this was all his idea. The enemy didn't create sex, y'all. He didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
He did not create
can't
it.
Create
so
nothing.
God created it. Right. He didn't create
he
nothing.
Did.
He has no ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he comes
and
in and he perverts. Yeah, he perverts
mm-hmm.
it. And I feel like for many of us, because there was a violation in our
yeah.
moment of, you know, maybe when we were young or something like that, it introduced us before time. And so
mm-hmm.
some of us may be in spaces where we deny ourselves that because of that particular experience, we're unable to, you know, we just shut off completely. Like, I don't want to
yeah.
go there. I don't want to explore that because the time that door was open, it was by somebody that I did not ask to open it and things like that. And so we shy away from it. And then you just have the person who, you know, Pringles out here. They just one time and they went wild. And so you're like, you need to bring it on back, you know, cause bring it on back a little bit. Oh,
Lord, I had a thought, but when I said Pringles, it took me out.
Well, you started knocking on a door that I wanted to knock on myself as far
well,
as
go
the
ahead and knock.
And the rape, you know, just the inappropriate introduction to sex or to sexual acts and behaviors. You know, it could include pornography, whatever. You know, you were inappropriately introduced to this, and so either you've gone one direction of being a prude, or when it comes to that particular, you know, aspect, you're like, you just shut down, or you've gone the opposite direction, and you're not honest with your spouse about why you like this or why you don't like this. And you never really receive that holistic deliverance, if any, from your sexual trauma that is now going to be an enemy to your marriage bed.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just like you have to be honest about where some of these turnoffs and turn-ons came from. Because sometimes you might be trying to force your spouse to do something they're not comfortable with, or force your spouse to do something that is not actually beneficial, or is maybe even perverse, you know, and twisted. And you know, again, I'm not trying to, you know, paint any specific pictures, but it's just like, you know what that thing could be for you. And I actually, I was on the launch team for a book several years ago by Mary DeMuse called Not Marked. And she had been raped multiple times as a child. And so she's writing this book, you know, on this subject of sexual trauma and, you know, how for some people it seems to almost follow them and how that affected her marriage as a Christian woman. And then there are even sections of the book where her husband will speak about how it affected him. Because it's like that stuff will absolutely affect your spouse. It may affect how you teach your children about sex in what you teach them, or even how you treat your children. Well, don't do that. Don't wear that. Don't do this. Da, 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 in a way that's like overbearing. Your child is like, what is wrong with my parent? And it's just like, well, you were never delivered. And so now what you're giving your child is education rooted and grounded in fear.
Fear.
Fear of what happened to you, fear and trauma, and this idea that just, you know, of over-sexualization and all that, which is a whole other can of worms. But it's just not healthy. It's just not healthy to your marriage or to your family. And it really has to be dealt with.
Yeah, but it's one of those spaces. How... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Becca.
You sure?
Yes, I am.
So I'm thinking about how, you know, we'll preach to single people that you have to be, quote, unquote, ready for marriage. I don't necessarily believe that doctrine. I believe that we, even once you get married, there are going to be other things that you need to deal with as, you know, as you grow and as you mature and things like that. But I do believe that there are certain things that you need to address before you bring somebody into covenant with you. And if you have experienced sexual trauma, rape, molestation, physical abuse, spiritual abuse, emotional abuse, if you have experienced abuse of any kind, that is definitely something that you do not just want to sweep under the rug as if it's not going to affect your relationship. And so I would just encourage, I just want to do a little PSA right here, to just encourage people out there, especially women, well, not especially, because men have some undealt with trauma
absolutely
as well. But if you are single and you know for sure that you cannot go into a marriage 100% clean and clear and honest about where you've been and what you've had to endure, then you are not ready.
Yeah.
You are not ready. So take that time to confront your past, to confront your pain, your trauma, your hurt. Take time to confront those things, because it's not going to be any easier to deal with while in the midst of a whole relationship. Like, it's a hard thing. It's a hard enough thing to deal with, you know, as a single person. And so if you do believe in that doctrine of being whole and 100% ready before you get married, more power to you. But make sure that you're dealing with your trauma stuff first before you start to deal with all the surface stuff.
Yeah. I was just sitting here thinking, as you were talking about being honest and stuff, it's one thing to be honest, but it's who you being honest with, because you have to make sure that the person can handle and has the grace for your sexual past. And it's so interesting, you know, how hypersexual we are as a society, but we are very modest when it comes to the people that, you know, we deal with, as far as, you know, you can't have too much on your record because I'm going to have to say no. But when we look at it in light of redemption and consider, particularly when there's been a violation such as rape, such as molestation, that oftentimes send people in a cycle and have them in patterns that I don't want to say that is against their will, but it is so hard for them to come out of that outside of God delivering them or some serious therapy. And I feel like we as a people, we're not gracious in that area. Like, we're cool with everything else, but when people come and they share their hearts, they share their experience, oftentimes what happens is, oh, okay. And so you push them away. And so what they do is the next person that comes along, they kind of feel like, okay, well, I got to keep that to myself, because the last time I tried to share that particular area of my life, somebody walked away, which people should have the right at the same time to walk away. But we could be more gracious, particularly when we understand that they're it came from a violation. Like, this one, just something you woke up and you like, I'm going to go out here and wild out. But you, a seed of perversion was planted in your life, and you went on this rampage as a result of that seed being planted, and understanding, really believing, well, are we new creations in Christ or not?
Yeah.
And giving people the grace to be that new creation, especially if they're far removed from that past way of living. You know, if they two weeks out and they up here talking, you might want to put a pause on it. But really, really examine their life and, you know, extend the same grace that you want.
Yeah.
Because we all got a past somewhere.
No, we all fear filled on this line. And, you know, yeah, if you're familiar with my blog, then you know I like to run right off into spiritual warfare and deliverance and things of that nature. While that's not the nature of this particular episode, the truth of the matter is, something Bishop Tudor Bismarck said years ago is that the easiest way to get a demon is sex. Now, that is not saying every time you have sex, you get a demon. Every time you fornicate, you get a demon. But what you're doing is laying out a red carpet for a STD, a sexually transmitted devil, you know, and obviously not even to mention the risk of a STI, you know, a sexually transmitted infection. But the truth of the matter is, when you're talking about demonization, I use that word specifically, and like, that's a real possibility. Again, I'm not saying because you fornicated or even, God forbid, had adultery or masturbated or saw pornography that you have a demon. I'm not saying that. I did not say that. I have never said that. But you can turn a practice into a stronghold. And when I teach on strongholds, a stronghold is a castle fortress. And a castle fortress, unless you're talking about like the ruins a lot of times we see today, is meant to house a strong man. So you're creating something that could, is meant to house something. So there is a very good chance you might need some deliverance if you have a storied past. And there's no shame in that, because we all need deliverance from something. And there is some, let's just be honest, our society is going to some really dark places. They dabble in some really dark things. And then if you're pairing it, and I'm really not going to make a whole thing out of this, but if you're pairing in the rise of witchcraft and the emphasis of that and things like that, and the way sex factors into that, there are so many things to be considered and so many doors that are being opened. There are people who have been branded by their abusers, people who have been marked by their abusers, people who have, you know, a girl actually messaged me recently, and I think this was communicated very badly and in a very religious sense, but she was told that her rape was her fault because the demons in her attracted the rapist. And I said, oh, my dear God, no. Like, and I messaged her, and I was like, first of all, that is a lie. That is not true. And along with that, there is a side of that where, and I'm not saying if you're possessed, your demon is crying out for someone to come and rape you. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that demons can mark you for different things. There, you see people who go through different cycles, and it's not your fault, but it's a setup from the kingdom of hell that can keep trying to pull you into that bondage, and you try to get free and it pulls you back. You try to move and you meet somebody with the same spirit but a different face. And you know, you really, a lot of people are really in need of deliverance in this department from the things they have experienced, from the things they have been exposed to. God forbid if you go down the route of spiritual spouses, which is a very real thing. You know, and just a lot of issues from pornography and from self-pleasuring and different things like that that were not dealt with, that were just, they ran wild. Like, that is a very real thing. I'm not trying to terrify anybody, but go get delivered, baby. Go call Apostle Ivory Hopkins. He's on the podcast. Go back to a former episode and listen to him. Go contact him. Go find deliverance. Go find healing. Go lay out. Go get what you need, because that is probably one of the most prominent bondages in our society, because we call sexual liberation, sexual bondage, liberation and freedom, mm-hmm. but it's a lie. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. Mm-hmm. Someone can talk.
Becca?
No, that's really big, and I think that it's important, even while you are pursuing deliverance, to partner that with fasting and praying. And it doesn't always have to be like a long, I'm going to fast for 40 days and 40 nights like Jesus. Like, it doesn't always have to be that. It could simply be, I am giving myself 3 days to unplug from social media, to unplug from television, to unplug from any other influence other than the influence of God, turning down my plate, and consecrating myself. And you will realize when you plug back in how saturated our just daily lives are filled with sin, right? Especially the message of sex and sexuality. And sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's blatant and it's blaring right in your face. But we have to get back to a point, I mean, taking it back to the first episode, the point of purity. Where if the Bible says in Philippians to think on things that are just, to think on things that are lovely or good, have good report, think on things that are pure. The problem is we don't even know what the pure thought is, because we have all these other layers of everything else that we're being told. These thoughts are good, but if we line it up with Scripture, these thoughts are not good. These thoughts are not noble. These thoughts are not going to yield a good report. So why am I focusing my attention on these things? And so, just like you said, Desiree, there's no shame in going through deliverance. A lot of the things that happened in our past were not things that we asked for.
Yes.
Like, I want somebody to really rest in that. We didn't ask for the family that we grew up in. We didn't ask for that. We didn't ask to be abused, no matter what devil tells you that you did. You didn't ask to be raped or you didn't ask for those things, right? You didn't ask to grow up in poverty that caused you to want to go out and sell drugs or sell your body. You didn't ask for these things. And so when we approach the human experience, when we confront that with deliverance, when you go through the literal deliverance process of, you know, purging and things like that, but ultimately deliverance is what? Renewing your mind. We're replacing the lie with the truth. Right, transforming and renewing our mind about whatever it is that had us in bondage. When we are making that choice, you're going to see great fruit from that. And so I don't want anyone to feel like, oh, this process is so long. I can relate, girl. The process is long. But the fruit of it is worth it. Like, when you finally get to that point where you realize, you know what? I thought that giving this person sex was my everything that I can give to him, but I'm so much more than my body. Like, I'm worth so much more than laying down with some random guy or some guy who says that he loves me. Like, I'm worth so much more than that. I have a mind. I have brilliance. I have creativity given to me by God. Like, I have all these other things. And I want to affirm the men as well. Like, your purity matters too. Like,
absolutely.
Your deliverance and healing matters too. So don't hear what we're saying like, oh, this is just girls talking about girl stuff. No. Guys need the same transformation of mind and transformation of thought as well. I don't want to necessarily bring a current event into the podcast discussion today, but you can look on social media. Most of the conversations that are going on, the root of it is perversion of sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perversion of what God originally created. And so
we
all of us, no matter you may have been saved 20 years, we can all still use another transforming and renewing of our mind when it comes to just dealing with things that are pure, going through that process of healing. There is no arrival, quote unquote, on this side of heaven. You may have gotten, your master's degree in this area of life, but, there's always something that God is going to be teaching you and molding and shaping and cultivating inside of you. And so when it comes to the area of relationships and sex and sexuality, purity culture, faux purity culture, because there really is a purity culture. I want you guys to understand.
Mm-hmm.
There is a purity culture, and that's the scriptures of what we're standing on, right? But there is a faux purity culture as well. But we have to be clear enough and sober-minded enough to be able to discern what is what. Because one is wheat and one is tear. So we need to be discerning enough to be able to separate the two.
Yeah. And let me insert this to the men. Sexual trauma in rape and molestation happens to y'all too. And it didn't make you a man. There's no reason your babysitter or your older family member or your older brother, cousin's girlfriend, or whatever should have been trying to have sex with you as a child, as a teenager. Like, we hear these things, and it's still, I think, a really taboo subject to bring up. But, this stuff happens. 18-year-olds seducing 12-year-olds, you're not a man. You're not even a teenager. You were raped. That's not something to laugh off. It doesn't make you any less of a man. You need deliverance too. Rape does not only happen to women. I mean, heck, a woman could put a roofie in your drink. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, God forbid. You know what I mean? Like, that didn't make you a man. Sex doesn't make you a man, number one, whether it's God's way or the devil's way. Like, that does not make you a man, but this really does not make you a man. Like, you were taken advantage of. That's not bragging rights. You need deliverance. And that's okay. And sometimes, just in general, that deliverance could be just a paradigm shift of knowing what your worth is in God. It don't have to be vomited in a trash can or rolling around or anything dramatic like that necessarily. It could be that too. I don't know what your deliverance is going to look like. But don't shy away from it because you think my gender doesn't require this.
Yeah.
Be free to get what you need.
I wanted to add to the conversation as far as you guys talking about deliverance, prayer, and fasting. I wanted to add therapy in the Word of God because deliverance deals with the soul and, the spirit of a man and also the mind in some parts, but therapy really helps process through some stuff. It helps you see and better understand your triggers, and it also gives you a roadmap to finding freedom. And for some of us, it's not just going to be you went down to the altar, you prayed it away. For many of us, and in my own personal life, therapy along with prayer, along with fasting, along with, you know, times of deliverance, therapy has been very influential in my life as far as bringing freedom, and then also taking the word of God and renewing my mind in it, and really, really understanding that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that the old has truly passed away, and all things are made new. And it's going to take, as Becca said, until we see Jesus, we're going to be working on ourselves. Until we see Jesus, there's going to be areas and spaces of brokenness, areas and spaces of just being frustrated with our humanity. But the beautiful thing is we can always lean on him, because in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And so in the weakness of your sexuality, in the weakness of your sexual trauma, in the weakness of your past pain, God's strength can be made perfect in you. If you would surrender it to him, if you would do take the necessary steps and acknowledge, hey, look, I'm hurting. I've been hurting for a long time. You know, I wasn't ready to talk about it, but now I'm ready to talk about it and pursue mm-hmm. your freedom, because the moment that you're ready to be set free is the moment God is ready to set you free. He is always mm-hmm. here with open arms, ready and committed to enabling you to become your real identity, not this stuff that this world has put on you and placed on you, not the stuff that you've had to endure and experience through your childhood. There is so much more that God has in store for you, and your sexuality and your sexual experience is not your identity. Your identity is rooted and should be grounded in Christ, and it's my hope and my prayer that you would hear this, and it would cause you to want to see just how free you can be in him, to explore just how liberated you can become and no longer be so intimately acquainted and connected to your past trauma and your past pain, because that rape was what happened to you. But the fact of the matter mm-hmm. is you're more than a conqueror. That molestation was what happened to you. But the fact of the matter is greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So that thing mm-hmm. came to take you out, but God could use that thing to bring him glory, and he can use it to cause your pain to make sense. And I pray that you would trust your creator enough with your pain and allow him to cause purpose to be developed out of it. But you're going to have to do some things, and one of those things is cry out to him by way of mm-hmm. prayer, or getting connected to somebody so that you can get some deliverance, being committed mm-hmm. to fasting and praying, getting in the word of God, and go see a therapist. It is quite all right to go pursue mm-hmm. your healing. You have God's permission, and you have our permission. And that's what I wanted to say on that.
Well, all right, prophetess, because prophets don't just prophesy.
Mm-hmm. If waiting is not about honoring God, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Oop.
That's it.
Oop.
That is it.
If you're trying to get married, I'm going to wait so that I can get married. He ain't promised you that. Mm-hmm. No scripture in the Bible says if you abstain, I will bless you with a spouse.
Jesus.
There's no promise
expose
in the word.
It. Expose
Pray
it.
That.
Mm-hmm. So if you're waiting and hope, go ahead. Let's be honest.
People who out here just having sex get married every day.
Maybe.
People who have a colorful past in that department get desirable husbands. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people who've waited and honored God, and they're, you know, intentionally honored God from their heart. Like, there's no formula for getting a set. And let's tackle this devil, okay? I don't want to know what prayer you prayed to get your husband, because I'm not trying to marry your husband.
Come on, girl.
I don't want to know what fast you went on to get your spouse, because I'm not marrying your spouse, because mm-hmm. I'm not you and you're not me, and what's on my life is not on your life, and you could be over here, and this is a lie that they tell a lot of people, you're not mature enough in the spirit.
Right.
You are not advanced enough. Marriage is not a reward of a meritocracy.
No. Mm-hmm.
It is not about keeping up with the Joneses or, well, if my anointing was greater on my life, then I would be married. And this, they don't usually tell men this stuff. They usually target this crap at the women. And it is trash. Mm-hmm. It's crap and trash, okay? That has nothing to do with anything. You do what God told you to do. Because here's the thing. People could be like, well, Desiree, you know, you're not married and you're almost 35 because, you know, you just must not be advanced enough. Well, how about what's on my life is too precious for any Tom, Dick, or Harry? And you can't cover what's on my life if you're any Tom, Dick, or Harry. So maybe that's not why. That's why I'm not married. Maybe you don't have the capacity to cover what God has placed on my life. But they don't want to talk about that. You don't have the anointing. And I'm not talking about putting up with the attitude. I am a pleasant girlfriend, doggone it, okay? Like, don't judge me about what you see on Facebook.
She really is sweet.
ask my ex-boyfriends now, okay? Like, I'm a nice girlfriend. I don't fight. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not selling myself here. I'm not advertising myself, let's be clear.
No, but I'm an ad out there. Like,
no, I'm not. We don't need no advertisements. I'm good. But don't buy into these lies where they tell you you have to tick these boxes up. Now, please, ladies, clean your house.
Right.
Have some good hygiene going on. Know what the call of God is on your life. Because if I don't know what the call of God is on my life, I'm not even in a position to know if you're a good fit for me. I'm not even in a position to know if you can cover me if I don't even know what he put me here to do. How you going to cover me and you don't know? Are you a prophet? Did the Lord tell you? Because if he haven't told me, I'm not a good judge of that. So go find yourself, ladies, and don't buy into these lies. And this is how they sell these programs and get y'all to sign up and come to these conferences and virtual conferences and challenges and all this foolishness. I don't want what you have because God has ordained something different for me. So stop buying referencing the idol, the marriage idol that we talked about last week. You can have a healthy and holy desire to be married, but don't buy into this lie that you know, is being marketed. They have commercialized marriage in saying that sexual purity in living up to this particular standard that is a lot of times man-made and man-manufactured, this is what will grant you a husband, and the devil is in fact a liar.
Yep.
You will have a husband when God ordains that it is time for you to have a husband if you are acting according to his will in your life. And let the church say amen.
Amen. That's it. Because it's very frustrating. And I believe that's why so many believers walk around with low self-esteem, because we keep getting over the pulpit that we're not enough. And the fact of the matter is, I'm more than enough because Jesus is on the inside of me. So he's all that and some, and I am in him, and therefore I'm enough. And so the person who is meant for me, with my flaws and all, will be fully able to cover that because he will have the love that covers a multitude of my sins, my flaws, my mistakes, and everything else. And it frustrates me so much because I see so many women more than men, because men going to do what they want. They be out here, and then when they're ready, they go pick. You know, they go pick from the field.
Because
it's a host of us. Pick me, you know. But it frustrates me because you have these amazing women, and they become so fixated on marriage that they're not even able to enjoy this beautiful singleness that they've been provided. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing to be single in this moment, because you're able to do what you want, when you want, how you want, with nobody to question you and nobody to answer to. And then you're going to sit up here. The enemy has you convinced that you're missing out on something. And so you're going to get into that season. You're going to get into that marriage. And then you're going to be up here mad and sad that you didn't enjoy your singleness the way you were supposed to. It's the trick of the enemy. It's the lie of the enemy to cause you not to have peace in this season of your life. You are enough, especially if you're doing your end on, you know, making sure that every day you wake up, you're committed to being a better version of yourself and a better version of, you know, your identity in Christ. That's all any of us can do. Do not drink the Kool-Aid. When it's your time, it's going to be your time. And look around you. You see all of these raggedy spouses out here. You ain't got to look a certain way and dress a certain way and act a certain way. Big country married. Little Mary married. You know what I'm saying? No edges, Nina married. So it don't matter.
And we're not trying to be rude. But, you know, all shapes and sizes and appearances of women get married every day.
Period.
Women be walking down the aisle every day, pure, unpure, pregnant, unpregnant, nice, not nice, witchy and manipulative,
broke,
and not. All of it, okay? Because if a man wants you, a man wants you. It ain't no amount of, and see, this is the thing I want to land on, soul ties. But ain't no amount of God told me or I believe. But it, I mean, that's nice. And please hopefully know something from the Lord. Be led by the Holy Ghost. But it's just like, I have been on every side of that. But walking down the aisle, yet, you know, like, it takes more than that. You know, because real people make real choices. Some of the choices they shouldn't have made. Let's just be honest, okay? And that's part of the reason why some of these people don't want to get married, because they see these married people's marriages. And it's like, nah, I'm good. Do you understand that there are like two or three couples that I know well enough? I'll just say I'll count on one hand. Couples that I know well enough to say, you are an example to me. Because what some of y'all got, what a lot of y'all got, is not a testimony. It's a testimony of settling. And it's not attractive. Don't nobody want to settle? I don't want that. I don't want someone who's going to not value me. I don't want someone who's not going to push me to be all that God created me to be. And, you know, who's not going to cultivate my gifts, who's not even capable of cultivating my gifts, who just pays the bills and watches TV when he gets home. Are you crazy? I don't want what some of y'all got. And I'm not trying to not marriage, and this is not the idea that you know, everybody who's married, settled, or isn't happy. There are a lot of happily married people, but you have to be careful what you consider relationship goals. Because a lot of what we considered relationship goals for a long time is going down the tubes, and it's falling apart. This pandemic has revealed a lot. Couples we thought would stay together and were perfect and were beautiful are shams, and they're falling apart at the seams. So don't chase after the image. Like Paul said, I've learned to be content in all situations. And it doesn't mean you want to stay in the city. I don't want to stay single forever. Are you crazy? No. But it's just like contentment can be as simple as knowing why God has you in this season right now. And I'm sorry to tell you, it's not always just because, well, you're just not ready to be married. Right? There is a timing to these things, and some of these things we won't understand until years, maybe even decades down the line. And it's bigger than just you, because you're creating a lineage. What you marry into, what you produce, the seed that you carry, that is so far beyond you that you shouldn't want to just race down the aisle with just any man who just wants to marry you, or with any woman who just is like, okay, fine. What? No. Let's learn to be content, like Charity was sort of indicating. Be content in the season that you're in, and stop chasing after these idols, and stop drinking the Kool-Aid, doggone it. It don't taste good. not good. It's poisoned. Becca, you've been a little quiet.
Yeah, I was actually going to give my little final thoughts. I do unfortunately have to go, but I just wanted to say last episode we focused on, praying and studying the scriptures for yourself. The beautiful thing about God is that he speaks to us personally. We don't have to go through a high priest or a third party to get insight or get understanding. The Lord can speak to us directly about what season we're in, about what our standards are, about what our convictions are, who to date, who not to date, who to pass on, who to give a chance. Mm-hmm. He literally, gives us his spirit to live and move and have our being with. And so we're making something that I believe is supposed to be easy way more complicated than it really needs to be. When we're talking about even as simple as getting married. I had this thought earlier today. Ultimately, you know who the people are that get married? The ones that choose to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they choose to settle or whether they choose to wait for the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it's going to be a choice. The reality is any one of us could get married tomorrow if we really wanted to. Because someone would marry us, but we don't just want a regular someone, right?
Right.
We want God's absolute best for us. And so if you're someone that wants God's absolute best for you, there is going to be a wait involved, and that's okay. Because God knows in his perfect timing how much more fruit could come out of a connection than a premature connection. So I've just learned over the years, and I had a very long, drawn-out single season. I mean long, y'all. And I was not a multiple dater either, Desiree. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
My heart gets attached to people very quickly, so I just knew that was not for me. And once I started dating, it was just one person. I can't date multiple people either. Like, all of this is too much. So I definitely had my season where it was like no man approached me. No one asked for my phone number. I feel like no man even looked my way. And, as frustrating as it was in some seasons and as lonely as it felt, I do not regret taking that time to just be me and God.
Yeah.
Period. I don't. Regret that time of cultivating friendship with my female friends, cultivating friendship with my guy friends. Going through deliverance, like we talked earlier, going through therapy, all of these things that help make us a better person, to make us a better, wholer person. but just don't get discouraged in the process, whichever part of the process that you're in. Like the scripture says, whatever state that I'm in, I'm learning to be content. Contentment does not mean that I don't desire for more. It doesn't mean that I'm not praying and declaring things for my future. It just means that where I am right now, I'm good. And I'm not comparing. I'm not judging other people because they're getting married before me and assuming that they're less of a person than I am, so I deserve to get married first. I'm not doing that. I'm celebrating with everybody that's celebrating, and I'm enjoying my season. And so for all of us that are in this space of kind of the in-between, knowing that we are called to be husbands and wives but not necessarily there yet, just enjoy that space. Enjoy the journey, and even when you meet somebody, enjoy the journey, and just really try to learn how to do it God's way, because, again, you cannot go wrong being led by the Holy Spirit. And so listen to what we're saying. Take it to the Lord and say, are they off or are they on? Again, try and test every spirit. Take the wisdom where you need to apply it, and, just live. In the meantime, just live. Like, there's a whole abundant life out here for us to enjoy. And so let's not make this overcomplicated.
Right. Right. Well, it was such a joy having you with us, Becca. Because this is our final segment, there is still one, so I'm going to keep you a little bit longer, Charity, because there's one final thing I want to address. But thank you so much, Becca. We'll shout you out.
Thank you, ladies.
Over. You've been such
thank you,
a
Becca. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Charity. The subject of soul ties. Because we can talk about sex all day long until we're blue in the face. But if we're not dealing with these soul ties, because the truth of the matter is, sex is not required to develop a soul tie. And a lot of us are developing these soul ties to, some of us have soul ties to the idea of marriage. Some of us have soul ties to the idea of a particular person that we thought, for whatever reason, legitimately or otherwise, that we were going to marry. Some of us have soul ties to our pastor, Jesus. Mm. And I'm not talking, you can have a healthy soul tie. There are healthy, soul ties are not a purely evil thing. A husband and wife can have a soul tie. Family members can have a healthy soul tie. Friends can have a healthy soul tie. I even say this, and please hear my heart when I say this. Like, I even say, like, my best friend, my bestest friend in the whole world, Jessica Lynn Baker, that's my soulmate from a platonic sisterly standpoint, because we're so similar and we work so well together. That's a type of tie. You know what I mean? So there are healthy soul ties, and then there are unhealthy soul ties and perverted soul ties. So what are your thoughts on that as it pertains to this whole subject in general?
So I went back and forth on the subject of soul ties. Because one minute I'm like, yeah, next minute I'm like, no. But as of late, the scripture that talks about the two shall become one flesh, Matthew 19:5-6. And I always say, well, how can two become one unless they're interjoined, unless mm-hmm. they're connected? And so for me, I was like, okay, there has to be that. To me, that was evidence for soul ties, especially in the sense of, like, relationships, men and women, those who sleep together and stuff like that, because, mm-hmm. Again, your body is interjoined, and they're connecting together, and, yeah, I mean, even the act itself makes you one. So to think that you cannot, to do something so intimate mm-hmm. and in your mind believe that it would not have some spiritual repercussions is a bit, what's the word I want to use?
Deception?
Foolish. Sounds a bit foolish. That's the real word. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat it, because like I said, the act in and of itself shows that there is a joining of the bodies happening. And so what is going on naturally is definitely happening in the spirit. And so I agree with them. Like I said, I didn't, because I used to think, okay, y'all just doing the most. Y'all just trying mm-hmm. to scare people. Here's another theory to scare folks, another fear tactic. Yeah. But as I look at my own different experiences in life and people that I was connected to and stuff, I'm like, yeah, that goes beyond that, like a prayer. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm just going to pray. Mm-mm. I had to pray fast.
Mm-hmm. Therapy. These guys come out by prayer and fasting.
Girl, through prayer and fasting, for real. Uh-huh. Because I didn't know the magnitude of it. And I believe one of the ways that the enemy does hoodwink us, or, you know, really fool us, is by suggesting to us, oh, it doesn't matter. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that serious. And what you find yourself doing is one person, two person, 10 people later, you're wondering why you don't know who you are. You having mm-hmm. all kind of personality issues. You're unaware of, you know, you're not yourself. And the reason is because you connected to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And we also
can take in that spirit.
Yeah, and we can use the woman at the well. God recognized, Jesus recognized her. Say this. You've been engaging in some stuff, and from what you've been doing, I'm looking into your spirit right now, and I see you got about 4 husbands.
Yeah.
4 people you in covenant with.
Mm-hmm. And the one you're with now ain't your husband.
Not yours. So it's a serious thing, and I think I also believe that you have to be careful with the people that you know, go through this deliverance process with.
Absolutely.
Because some of them are on some strange and weird things, and if they can't direct you with the word of God and processing through it, I would refrain from participating in their particular deliverance exercise personally.
Yeah. And shared trauma can produce a soul tie. And it doesn't even have to be a sexual trauma, though it could be. And that could be we just 9/11, the anniversary just passed. Someone who went something like that together, that can create a soul tie between you. If you survive something like that together, or if you run into someone else who survived that, you know, someone may not have been molested by the same person, but the fact that you've both been molested, you've both been raped, that can be a soul tie, you know, where you, but I'll let you know, if one way you can find out if you have a soul tie is if you keep being, I don't mean this in a romantic sense, like, oh, we just keep coming back to each other. No, you try to quit this joker, you know, over and over. You know they're no good for you. You know you don't feel great. You know, like, you want to progress in your life. You want to move forward. And you keep getting pulled back. Or at certain seasons, for some people it's very cyclical, maybe at a certain time of the year, and it doesn't have to necessarily be cuffing season, which it is about to be cuffing season, I believe, when it gets cold.
I think
you know? We in it, you know. It doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could be a season in your life where the same temptation comes around every year, every fall, every spring, every, you know, whatever, like every summer. It could be a place. Like, there's so many different ways. And let's just make it really, really, really plain, okay? Prayer can create a soul tie with somebody.
Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual bond.
You can pray for somebody so, and I'm talking a soul tie that's as strong as sex or stronger. And a lot of times is stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, and it can be a healthy soul tie, and it can be an unhealthy, perverted. And I say this from firsthand experience. Charity, you know this. We ain't naming no names. But there is a particular individual years ago in my life, and when a sort of traumatic situation happened, how did we both have the same illness at the same time? And I'm not talking about the flu. I'm talking about, like, we had flu-like symptoms and nobody was sick. I'm talking, like, neither one of us could eat. Neither one of us could sleep. Like, and I didn't realize until I spoke to this person a little while after the traumatic event took place. Like, I was like, well, you know, he was explaining some of his issues that he was dealing with. And I was like, wait, I'm experiencing the same symptoms. And it scared me a little bit. Because I was like, how is this happening? And he was just like, oh, well, you know, it's not uncommon for people who pray for each other like that as often as we do. The devil is a liar. I was like, I don't want to be connected like that to my husband. And you not he. You are not it. So it's like you can form, like, that was an unhealthy soul tie. I'm not saying it was all evil, all negative, or even formed for wrong reasons, but it became an unhealthy soul tie. If you go down this road, and God can absolutely tell you who your husband was, I firmly believe that. God can absolutely tell you who your wife is, I firmly believe that. But more often than not, there are people who erroneously believe that a certain person is their spouse, and they don't understand. They've crossed over into the soul. They're not in the spirit, or they were driven there by a spirit, not from God. You know, and this tie has been created to this idea, to this desire, and it's not fueled by the Holy Spirit. And so now you over here putting your whole life on hold or investing energy and resources and in waiting and whatever, you know, for this person that don't even want you.
Lord.
And that can have you bound more than sex.
And sadly, that seems to be the big one in the church.
Yeah.
Among, you know,
because
among
sex is
women.
Bad, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of, you know, this is my spouse, and I've sadly know women who 12, 15 years of their life waiting on this to happen. And then when this individual marries someone else, they've said, you know, well, they miss God and this, that, and the other. It couldn't be that you missed them.
Listen. And here's the other part of that. This is why even if you do hear from the Lord, and this is to men and women, if you really honestly do hear from the Lord about somebody, the truth of the matter is at the end of the day, as with a lot of prophecies, not all, people still have their own will. Yeah. And you cannot override somebody's will, okay? And if you try to do that through prayer or any other means, now you've crossed over into witchcraft. And I say this from experience. I was innocent in my experience, but it was my experience nonetheless. And y'all can read my blog post about witches and witch covens in the church if you would like to read about a prayer group gone awry. You know, like that is legitimate. You're trying to control somebody else's will through your prayers because you thought the Lord said. And there are people who do this blatantly. They know that, you know, well, I want this. And so they intentionally, because they understand the power of their mouth, y'all can go back to episode 4, which is titled The Power in Your Mouth, and learn about that. Okay, that's true. So shall be my words that go forth from my mouth. And it may not necessarily produce the desired effect, but what it can produce is confusion in a mental bondage, even in that person. I've seen this happen, y'all. I've seen it happen where the person is like, I can't get this off my brain, and I don't really want this, but I don't understand why this is, like, on my brain like that. You know, like, it's witchcraft.
It is.
Confusion and witchcraft. I'm not saying every time you're confused it's witchcraft. Let's be balanced, people, okay? But a lot of times when it comes to certain situations, you bind enough stuff that heaven never released to you to bind. Because the key to binding and loosing, and this is the subject, but the key to binding and loosing is as it is in heaven. The key to manifesting as a believer is as it is in heaven. So if you take in what heaven did not ordain for you, and you trying to bind it up, you are operating in witchcraft. I don't care if your intention was correct. And the Lord has a way of gently showing you, you know, well, sweetheart, or however he refers to you, daughter, whatever, you know, hey, that was witchcraft. Hey, you don't need to do that. And sometimes your heart is so deceived that you are open to every single false confirmation.
Oof.
And there's a segment of scripture for that, too. Oh, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. Okay. Keep choosing deception over the spirit of truth. There is, if God has put you here to be married, there is somebody here for you. And men do this, too. Men, because I have had multiple men manipulate me with, God said you're my wife. I have men who've tried that semi-successfully and very unsuccessfully, okay? And then I was the person on the other side of that in some of the scenarios, if I can just be honest, who really, 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 really thought so-and-so was my husband. And guess what? A lot of that time, I was really, 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 really wrong. Some of the time, it's a little iffy. But at the end of the day, I'm inclined to believe that I was wrong. And then at the same time, there is a window of opportunity. You know, there's a phrase I heard Bishop Tudor Bismarck say, but I think Leonard Ravenhill said it. You know, the opportunity of a lifetime has to be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. So sometimes it would have worked within that window of time, but because that person utilized their own God-given will, they made a choice that sent them down a different road that was not toward you. And you have to accept that. And it doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make them, you know, whatever. I don't know what the issue is or isn't. But it's just like, okay, God is not going to punish you because someone decided not to do what we're assuming you actually correctly heard from the Lord. Yeah. You know what I mean? So just be really careful with that. Be really careful with ministers who try to control you through well, the Lord said this person is your spouse. It's so easy when it's a highly emotional subject, and we're wrapping it up. When it's a highly emotional subject, it's so easy to cross from the spirit to the soul, and you don't even know where you left the spirit realm. It's so easy to stay in the spirit realm and miss if you're not careful, that this is no longer the spirit of God influencing me, but it's another spirit. It might be my own spirit or somebody else's spirit influencing me, deceiving me, making you look like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need deliverance from soul ties. We really, 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 and I didn't know we were going to get this heavy, and I know this is probably my longest podcast, but I knew I didn't want to come back for part three, and I just really wanted to tackle this. You know, I'm trying to wrap up the season, y'all, in a couple episodes, okay, but I really wanted to tackle this. So any final words, prophetess, Charity Israel Porter?
Really just, I just want us to really experience our freedom in Christ and know that freedom is across the board in every area of our life, and that, you know, no matter what space, or if there is a space that we know we are bound, and since we're talking about our sexuality and, you know, the full period culture, to know that there's freedom available to you there, and that there's nothing to be ashamed of, there's nothing to allow condemnation and guilt to live in that space where God can redeem. And no matter, you know, where we've been in our sexuality walk and experience, that the same God saves, delivers, heals, restores all of us. And I just pray we will make ourselves available to allow him to do that. And I thank you for being open to having the discussion. I've always appreciated your boldness in God and your willingness to just say what the word says and not be moved by anything other than the word. And I just appreciate you having me on and us having this time together.
Well, thank you, sis. I it's been my absolute pleasure. It really has. And you brought so much, and Becca brought so much, and y'all go follow Becca on everything at Preach Becca. And Charity, what's your contact?
At Love Lives Free for social media, and charityisrael.net.
Yes. Y'all follow her, buy her book, 40 Days to Freedom. We talked about deliverance. And this is what I was saying earlier. Prophets don't just prophesy. We come with deliverance.
Mm.
We know where deliverance needs to take place. We understand what spirits are in operation in those situations. So, I mean, just read the Old Testament. You know what I mean? They didn't just speak. They demonstrated, and this is part of that. So definitely take advantage of her ministry and Becca's as well. These are two lovely, blessed ladies that I love, you know, and it's been such an absolute pleasure. So please share this with somebody. Subscribe, rate us, y'all. Rate us. Give us some 5 stars, no less than 4, preferably, but 5 is better. Share this with somebody. Share this with your ministry. Like, you know what I mean? Because so many ministries need to hear some raw, and this is not raw in an inappropriate, in a crude sense, but just some really raw teaching. And it's 2020. We can handle that, y'all. We're grown. We supposed to be anyway, you know, and the stuff your kids are watching sure is grown. Stuff your kids is listening to sure is grown. So we should be able to handle this, certainly, you know.
Yeah.
But, yes, I'm grateful. And stay tuned for the next episode. And definitely go back and listen to the older episodes if you haven't already. We've had some phenomenal guests this first season of the Desiree Show. But, yes, and visit my bookstore at DesireeAndMonteser.com. And, again, pick up my latest resource, Recognizing Cults. Thank you so much, Charity, and y'all be blessed.